Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Absolutely. Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning, great Scott.
Up for the whole day, are you? Pretty much? Except for a late afternoon nap.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe today I might be up all day.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
As we were talking just a little while ago off air, we've got a busy couple of days coming up.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, big wedding. You
know, big doings going on.
Wonderful couple in our church.
Yes.
Nathan Borders and Brookline Lyons getting married on Saturday.
Yep.
And so we're excited about that for them. They're a good couple. And we wish them all the best. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Beautiful morning as well out there today. Let me tell you, Timotheus. Beautiful morning.
I'm going to have to fix you here just a second.
All right. Fix me, brother.
All right. Hold on just a second here.
All right. You fixed it. A microphone slipping on me.
All right.
Thank you so much.
There we go.
Oh, thank you so much. I think we've got it.
Highly trained broadcast professional.
Only a highly trained broadcast professional would know how to do that. I was working on it, but I couldn't get it just right.
It keeps wanting to fall down
it
on
does.
You. So we got it fixed, I think.
If I'd have brought a wrench, I'd have tightened it up.
Yeah, I believe we've got it down now. There we go.
So a beautiful day, a beautiful week so far, and we hope and pray that it continues to be. Now, last week, you know, we had our Unity Conference.
Oh, it was good
turnout.
Too.
Good turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to apologize for not being able to get around to everybody and see everybody. It's hard to get to everybody and spend the amount of time that you want to spend. But I think much good was done to Timotheus. I really do.
I think so, too. We heard from some really good speakers, Mr. Don Pinson.
Yes.
Mr. Richard Nelson.
Yes.
And Tufik Saad.
Absolutely.
Covered a lot of ground.
Absolutely.
In a short amount of time and had some pretty good eats, too.
Pretty good. I'm told I wasn't able to make the breakfast part.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
But, and that's where you miss a lot of one-on-one with people, you know, if you can't get there to eat with them.
I think, did we say that there was 10 different denominations?
I never heard.
I think there was 10.
I never heard.
About 40 brethren came and
great.
And broke bread with us, as we say.
Yes.
And then just had a good time of some teaching and gleaning from these men.
You mentioned Brother Nelson, Richard Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Richard's with the Commonwealth Policy Center.
Yes.
In Frankfurt, I guess. Is it Frankfurt?
I think Frankfurt.
Does he live in Hendren County? That's west of Frankfurt. Anyway.
Down close to Hopkinsville, I think.
That's right. Where he lives. He does a newsletter, I think, maybe every month.
Mm-hmm.
He has a daily broadcasting, a one-minute message on several radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very helpful. A couple of years ago, we had this problem with Jesus and the school system.
The Charlie Brown Christmas play.
Yeah, and someone objected to that. And Richard was very helpful in giving information about our rights, what could be done, what couldn't be done. And, you know, we found out we had a whole lot more rights than we thought we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's usually the case. There's a lot of bullying going on today.
Yeah. So if someone would have a question about their church and politics and this type of thing, and we don't want to live in fear. The people of God, God has not given us the spirit of fear.
No.
but of love and of a sound mind. And so we want to have the information so we can know. And he's a good guy to talk to about those kinds of things. And that's why we wanted him to come.
Yeah, very knowledgeable.
Yeah. And of course, folks could call, love for folks to call me. I'd be happy to pass that information on to you. You can reach me at 367-0137. If you want to call the radio station this morning, how could they do that, Timotheus?
By using a phone.
Yep.
Would be a good idea.
Cellular device?
Either one. 789-0318. 789-0318. Or if it's easier for you, you could just send us an email real quick at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Sure.
That's godspointofview@yahoo.com.
And the construction going on out here on the street won't affect either of those, right?
I don't think so. Okay. I think they're digging for gold or something. No, I'm just kidding. They've had trouble with a big hole in the street, and they're going to take care of it once and for all.
I hope so, because I've hit that hole on more than one occasion.
I have, too.
Yeah. And I wish I'd had my lunch with me on one particular occasion, because I was going to be there a long time, I thought.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go to the emails here, Timotheus. We've got an email from a brother.
Okay.
Last week when I was trying to think of the Christmas movie, you know, that our grandchildren just love so much, this brother took time out of his schedule to email.
Yeah.
And all he says is that he just gave us the name of the movie, which is what we were trying to find, The Polar Express.
Oh, The Polar Express.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, brother, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much for helping out there. Let's go back to an email. Actually, it's the second email. One of two, let me put it that way.
Okay.
About spiritual gifts and talking in tongues. Let's get the telephone call first. What do you say?
Yep.
And then we'll come back to that email.
We'll do that. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I got a question.
Good morning, brother.
When I was growing up and everything, all the old preachers and stuff, they always preached that when you passed away, that you was asleep in the grave until the rapture, until the Lord come back.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you see on Facebook and things, people will say, so-and-so passed away, and they're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your opinion on when you pass away, are you asleep in the grave, or do you go straight to heaven?
Very good question. A lot of confusion about that very subject. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the call. The Bible is clear on so many things, and this is one of them. There's a lot of things that are veiled in Scripture. The Bible says that now we look through a glass darkly or a glass dimly. We can't see just exactly what that might mean. And of course, that's true of most all spiritual things. This particular matter, however, about whether we're asleep in the grave or we're going to be with the Lord. Man is made up of actually three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The body, when the body dies, the body goes to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
There the body will rest, or the body will stay until the resurrection, till the last day. All graves will be open. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth." Two categories: they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. They're going to be an accounting. Everybody's going to come out of the grave, but there's going to be some things take place before that. Timotheus, you know how I am. I'm about to take a side road here, and I don't want to.
Yes, stay on course.
Because I want to stay on course here.
We can talk about Thessalonians.
There's some beautiful pictures on those side roads, by the way.
There is.
But anyway, the body is dead. James says in James 2:26, the body is dead because of the absence of the spirit. So let's just keep it simple. I need it simple. The body is dead, but the spirit has gone on to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So there's a separation.
There is a separation.
There we go.
The body knows nothing.
Yeah.
But the spirit is very much alive. Now, the point the brother made, the caller made, by saying that the old preachers just said they go on to heaven, I believe we go immediately into the presence of Jesus.
The Spirit.
The Spirit does. The body's still in the grave.
Yeah, that's what the old preachers preached about the body being in the grave.
Yeah, asleep. but it's not asleep. It's dead.
Yeah.
And now sleep sometimes is a euphemism for being dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another word for it. But the Spirit, it's never said that the Spirit is dead.
Yeah.
The Spirit is very much alive, and it goes to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 says that to be absent from the body mm-hmm. is to be present
with the Lord.
The Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8. So the Spirit goes on to be with Jesus, and there is awareness there. Revelation 5 talks about the souls that are under the altar, and they're asking the Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So there is awareness. You know what's going on. Probably the most familiar scripture is Luke 16, where two men lived, two men died. One was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes in torment. Mm-hmm. The other man, Lazarus, was carried to Abraham's bosom, which is a type of heaven or paradise for the Jewish mindset and us as well. He was comforted, which tells me that there's awareness in the other world.
Mm-hmm.
As far as heaven is concerned, heaven is a, we all have different ideas about heaven. Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven will not be completely realized until after the judgment and the great white throne judgment. The judgment for God's people will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be judged, but to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
We've already been judged. Guess what, Timotheus? You were found guilty.
I was.
And Jesus took your place on the cross.
Absolutely.
So when we are resurrected, or the rapture takes place, whichever, our rewards will be given to us at the Bema seat of Christ, but the rest of the dead live not again. Now, the rest of the dead has a reference to the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take place at what's called in Revelation 20, the Great White Throne Judgment. So there's actually two resurrections, and there's two judgments.
Mm-hmm.
That's confusing to a lot of folks, and different preachers, you know, believe it differently, and consequently they preach it differently. But that's what I believe the Bible teaches about the death of a person. Death of a child of God, he goes immediately to be with Jesus.
Nope.
Not necessarily to his final resting place called heaven, but wherever Jesus is, that's good enough for me.
And that's where Hades comes in, am I correct?
It is.
Where,
it is.
Because it's like a temporary holding
it
place.
It is. Yeah. It is. I thought you were going to say a temporary holding cell. I've been in a few of those. Not as a violator of the law, but mind you. But
there you go.
There to see folks. But it is a temporary place. All spirits, good or bad, lost or saved, go to the Hadean realm, which is a place of waiting.
Yeah.
Draw a circle, then half it.
Yeah.
On one side. The whole thing is Hades.
Yeah.
But on one side is where the saved go, and the other side is where the lost go.
The Lord would be on one side, because the Bible says to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Now, my question is, you said we're made up of three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit goes to be with the Lord, the body's in the grave. Yep. Where's the soul?
Oftentimes, the soul and the spirit are used interchangeably.
Okay.
Where the soul of man, the old Christian hymn, to Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul of man shall never die.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I love that. Let's talk about the soul for just a moment. The soul and the spirit, so closely related.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they're used interchangeably in Scripture as well as in song.
Okay.
But the soul of man, I believe, is the deepest recesses of our hearts.
Yeah.
That I fight with every day of my life.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle.
Because of our nature.
Because of our nature. I'm a sinful man.
I am too.
And so I wrestle with lust and greed and temptation, pride, self-esteem, everything that everybody who's listening right now wrestles with or has ever wrestled with, I've wrestled with.
And that we don't want to talk about.
We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
We want to project only our good side, but the good side loses something if you can't project the bad side first. It's like the jeweler who puts the brand new sparkling diamond ring in his window, but the background is dark.
Yeah.
Which makes the diamond shine with more brilliance.
Yeah.
This is what Christ does for us. He makes us shine.
And that's where we're told to deny ourselves, I believe. When we're told to deny ourselves, it's that sinful nature that we naturally want to go toward.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have to plan to go to it. I can be doing something really good.
Default nature, brother.
It's my default.
Yeah.
I just go there. So I have to fight to stay away from there.
Mm.
So I hope that helps the caller.
Great question. We appreciate him calling in.
It was a great question. Maybe there's some other questions out there, Timotheus.
7890318. God's Point of View at yahoo.com.
So the email that I referenced a moment ago had to do with with the spiritual gifts, and without going through the entire email, the gist of the follow-up email is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7, which says, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, so that, or because of, ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the position of the querist, the emailer, is that since it says we come behind in no gift, how can we say that any of the gifts have ceased? They continue to say, we'll get this call in just a second, please hold on for us and with us, goes on to say, and references even Strong's Concordance about the word gift here is the same word used in spiritual gifts, and I'm sure that's true. But there's a difference in the gifts. Actually, there's three kinds or three different categories of gifts. And instead of going through all of that, I would like to refer the emailer to the Highland of Church of Christ, HighlandChurchFamily.com. I'll say it right in a minute. HighlandChurchFamily.com.
The website.
The website. Go down to the sermon section, just a hop, skip, and a jump. Click on that, and then go to, we talked about this very subject back in November of 2015. All of those messages are archived. I did three messages on Wednesday night about the spiritual gifts. And there's three categories of them. Let's come back to this last point about this. Let's take the call, and then I want to come back to the last point, because we've got all this information archived.
Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please. Hello?
Are you there? All right, call back if you can. I know I went a little bit over there. I'm sorry about that, but it's hard to stop it.
Hard to stop it.
You can't stop a train.
That's what I've heard.
If the emailer would like to get more information about this, go to HighlandChurchFamily.com and go down to sermons, and you'll have to scroll down a couple of times probably to go back a couple of years.
Yeah.
Nearly 2 years. Three messages on Wednesday night starts November the 4th. Now here's the caller.
Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, if I had a question about what your all's view is on when somebody dies and they're cremated.
Okay. And the question would be, is it a sin, or what's the question exactly?
I'd just like to know your views about it and what the Bible says about it.
That's a good question, brother. I was taking a last sip of coffee. There's a reason I hesitated. And sure was good.
He's got this thing for coffee.
I love it. All God's people say amen.
I'm not saying amen. I don't like coffee.
This is an interesting and good question. As a matter of fact, I've got something in the stack here. Of notes and things that I think are interesting things for Christians to think about. And one of them has to do with not cremation, not burial of the body, but liquefaction.
Oh.
Now, there's a new movement out today about how to be complementary of the earth. You don't want to bury a body and it decay and go back into the soil, they say. The green movement says you don't want to cremate because you leave a carbon footprint when you do that. So the best thing to do is to liquefy the body. That's being done in some places now.
Is that like putting us in a blender or something?
Well, no, we're putting acid.
Oh.
And there's all kinds of crazy ideas about things in this world. I think that ranks right up there with one of the top.
Yeah.
But it's being done. It's being done. The people it's called liquefaction. You become a liquid, and they take the liquid out to the sea, dump it in the ocean, and they say after just for a moment or two is just a brown blob on top, and then that great aeration system known as the Pacific or the Atlantic starts its process, and then you go away. Yeah. You say, well, we're going back to dust anyway. That's true, but if you look at the Bible now, you'll see that the Bible, Old Testament especially, and even into the New Testament, God's people have always had a high regard for the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to desecrate it in any way. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I would, and I can't give you a verse that says it's a sin to be cremated. I can't give you a verse that says it's a sin to be liquefied. I can give you plenty of verses where people were buried.
Yeah.
And their view of burial was that that's the best way to respect the body. Jesus was buried, you know, and then came out of the grave. So is cremation a sin? I can't tell you it's a sin. I can tell you this. It's never mentioned in the New Testament, and the only times it's mentioned in the Old Testament is when God's enemies would kill and burn God's people. Now, you can draw some of your own conclusions from that. Do we have a call to Mothis, or did they leave us?
I think they left us again.
Well, they'll give me time to jump in here real quick.
Then it'll start ringing.
That'd be good. We hope it does. We want to encourage that. Of course, if we had more time, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But we don't, and so we go with what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
In that first message in the book of Romans is where we were studying on spiritual gifts. Let's get this call now.
Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I was wondering, when people pass away, you always hear they get their angel wings. Isn't it so that humans can't be angels?
God bless you, brother. You're absolutely correct. We're
supposed
to be,
get a new body. We're supposed to get a new body ourselves.
We get a new body. Remember that old song, I'll have a new body?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Yeah. We're not going to be angels. We're going to be as the angels, meaning eternal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But no wings. Only Clarence got his wings. That was in that great movie, Wonderful Life. Yeah.
But we are, the Bible tells us that we will, some of us will judge angels.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll be judging along with Jesus Christ. We sure will.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you're right about that. We'll get a new body, but no wings.
Yeah,
no wings
for us.
And people think that, a lot of folks believe that and think that because we see commercials with little cherubs, little fat babies sitting on a cloud with wings, and Hollywood has done that to us.
Does that mean I don't get a halo either?
You don't get a halo either.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you might even have stuff, a couple things sticking out the top of your head. I don't
hey, we're crossing the line now.
Spiritual gifts. So if you go there, you're going to find in that study, in that series, and I hope you will go, especially the emailer.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you go there
back
and you'll see.
Back in November of 2015.
November the 4th, to be exact.
Oh.
2015. It's on a Wednesday night.
Yep.
And we talked about three categories of spiritual gifts. There are gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's Romans 12, verses 6 through 8.
Yeah.
There are ministries, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And then there are effects of those ministries. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Here's the interesting thing. And again, the emailer is focusing on the miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Like those, healing gifts.
Healing gifts, speaking in tongues, those
interpretation, that kind of thing.
The Christian church,
mm-hmm,
that Paul was writing to at Corinth.
Yes.
Paul is reminding them that the least gifts are in this effects area. That is the spiritual. The miracles and prophecy. Now there's two kinds of prophecies. There's a forthtelling and a future telling.
Mm-hmm.
So which one is it there? I believe it's forthtelling. That would be in the category of preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
Interpretation of tongues. That's put in the category of passing away as a least gift. Here's the main point, then I'll get off this subject, and I hope the emailer does go there to our website and listen to those messages. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
We're never told to concentrate on the third column. Now, you'd have to have I've got this column here before me, and that column is the effects. That's the wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, effective miracles, prophecy. That's future telling, distinguishing spirits, and interpretation of tongues. We're never, ever, ever told in the Bible to concentrate on those. We're not even told, Timotheus, to concentrate on the second category. That's ministries.
Hmm.
We're told to focus on the first gift. That's Romans 12. I'm giving the scripture references so people can look it up. Romans 12, 6 through 8, lists seven different gifts. Now, I believe there are seven spiritual gifts in the church today.
Okay.
Everybody has at least one. It may be a gift of prophecy or preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe serving. Maybe teaching. Maybe exhortation. Maybe organization. Mm-hmm. Maybe giving. Some people have the gift of giving. They just can't give enough.
Yeah.
By the way, if you know anybody like that, Timothy,
send them on
send them to me. Send them, I want to talk to them. And then mercy.
Yes.
And so those are the only gifts that we're ever told to seek out.
Now, it's not that some other people can't have discernment about them.
That's true.
I mean, that's a gift, but we're not told to concentrate on that.
We're not. We're not.
Yeah.
And certainly we're not told to concentrate on tongues. We're not told to concentrate on miracles, raising the dead, and all of that. Those things were temporary uses. And I know a lot of folks, even some listening, don't agree with that, and that's fine. You don't have to. It's not a salvation issue.
No.
But here's what happens. When we focus on the miraculous all the time, and we're wanting some good feeling, you know, then what happens is a lot of people, because they're honest, they don't get it, and so they don't feel nothing, so they don't pretend.
Yeah.
Am I suggesting that some might pretend? Oh, yeah.
Watch late night TV.
Oh, yeah. Billy Graham said this. In a declining culture, one of its characteristics is that ordinary people are unaware of what is happening.
Yeah.
Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television screen without becoming involved. He watches the ominous events while he sips on his beer in a comfortable chair. He does not understand that his world is on fire, and that he is about to be burned with it.
We don't get it.
We don't get it.
Yeah.
We don't get it. So, but we like to talk about things we can't understand.
Yeah.
We like to talk about miraculous things. And well, let me tell you what happened to me. Like the old brother told me one time, he said he saw a squirrel going down under a fence rail. And he said, that's how I knew I was saved. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody knows a squirrel walks down the fence rail, not under the fence rail. And I said, well, that's news to me. I didn't know that. And then I asked him this. He said, that was my sign. I said,
because the squirrel walked
under the fence rail.
This was his sign that he was saved.
Yeah. And I said, did you never read in the scripture where it says, a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it except the sign of Jonah, and the Jonah the prophet who was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of earth 3 days and three nights? He said, nah, I never read the Bible.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why you can. If you don't ever read the Bible, you can make up anything you want to.
Well, it works in your mind.
Works in your mind.
Don't know what's going to happen.
789
when it's over.
0318. Did I give that number right?
Yes.
0318 or God's Point of View.
Yahoo.com.
Yeah. Now there was another emailer that we had here to mow this.
I never saw a squirrel run under fence.
I never did even see a squirrel run.
Does that mean I'm not saying?
I've seen him. I've seen him go down a wire overhead. Mm.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah, I've seen him do that.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I've never heard anybody say something like that.
Well,
that's
it's nonsensical.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just being real.
It's hard not to make fun of that.
I'm just saying, squirrel run under the fence.
Here's an email that says, "Can you talk about ambition?" I read somewhere that ambition that the ambition of the Christ follower is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's several things. Apparently, if a Christ follower has ambition, this is how it will be manifest.
Okay.
Lead a quiet life.
Yeah.
Tend your own business. Work with your own hands. Preach the gospel. Be pleasing to Him. I agree with all of that.
I can't say there's anything wrong with that one. No.
The Apostle Paul admonished the Thessalonians to mind your own business.
Yeah.
Work with your own hands.
Yeah.
In other words, if you don't work,
you don't eat.
You don't eat.
Yeah.
And so, ambition is, in other words, should we not have any ambition? A thousand times no to that question. A thousand times yes to having ambition for Christ. He should be our central focal point in everything we do, and we do the best we can because of Him.
If you don't have ambition when you're a Christian, you get saved and you just sit down and that's it?
You just
don't do anything?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
I'm not even sure Oh boy, I'm about to get in trouble.
I was going to say anyway.
If the Bible says we're known by the fruit we bear.
Absolutely. How can you bear fruit if you're not doing anything?
And so, if there's a problem with the fruit,
there's a problem with the root.
Absolutely. You remembered that.
I did.
Thank you, brother. There was a fellow one time who had been a drunk in his lifetime, and as the story goes, he came to Christ. And just started preaching the gospel. I tell you what, he became an evangelist. He was preaching all over the place. And his name was Samuel Porter Jones over a century ago. And one day he was walking down the street. Sam Jones looked down and saw a drunk in the gutter. a critic of his, and you know, preachers, they always have a critic. The critic said to Sam Jones, says, Sam, that's one of your converts. Sam replied, that's right. He looks like one of mine, for if he were one of God's servants, he would not be down in that gutter. If you're a servant of God, my friend, you're going to be about your Father's business. That's ambition.
That's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View. We want to thank you for joining us today, and I'd like to invite you to services at the church. 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship service gets underway at 10:30 a.m. Life groups Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.